Today on The Balanced Word, making sure our hearts are in the right place.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Thanks for joining us today for The Balanced Word, brought to you each day by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. God's not only concerned about what we do or don't do, but He also has an eye on our heart. He wants our motives and heart to be in the right place. Today we'll draw attention to Amaziah, who did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. And it led to big problems. Let's see how to avoid that mistake as we join Pastor Dave Rolfe in 2 Chronicles chapter 25.
Here in 2 Chronicles 25, we see the reign of Amaziah there in Judah. Remember, the books of Chronicles are going through the same time period as the books of Samuel and Kings. The difference is Chronicles is just focused on Judah, hardly any stories about kings of the northern tribes. It's just all the southern, what's happening in the southern kingdom. And so Amaziah, it says, was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So he was one of the good guys, more or less, but not with a loyal heart. This is kind of an interesting phrase and fairly unique in the scripture, that someone did the right thing, but their heart wasn't right. So often we at least make excuses for ourselves and suggest that we did the wrong thing, but our heart was right. There are times when we know that for sure that's true. We see that when our children are small and they think they'll do a little decorating in the house and they paint on the walls or do things like that, and they really think you're going to be proud of them when they do it. Sometimes they know better. I know Pastor Chuck tells the story of one time when he and his wife came home and their daughter had painted red paint all over in the garage, and Kay began to get upset with her, and Chuck said, "Wait a minute, honey, wait a minute." He said, "I remember when I was small, I did the same thing, and I was thinking my parents are going to be so proud of me, and then I came home, they came home and spanked me for what I did, so let's find out what she was thinking." And so Chuck said, "Honey, what were you thinking while you were painting the garage?" And Cheryl said, "Well, I was thinking, boy, am I going to get a spanking, but this is going to be fun." But it's more important that we're doing what we're doing for the right reasons, from the heart, even than it is that we do what's right. Now, obedience is important, and often in our training of children, we have to start with the exterior. But if it doesn't sink down to the heart, to the interior, then ultimately it really doesn't mean much. It just becomes social engineering. It's really not something that is a matter of spirituality. And so often, I think, as Christians, we focus on, okay, what is the right thing to do? We have calls all the time calling on the radio program to want to know what they should do. And to me, that's backwards for adults who are Christians. We shouldn't be so much worrying about what the right thing to do is as we should be concerned about our hearts being in the right place. If our heart's in the right place, the behavior that follows will automatically spring forth from the leading of the Holy Spirit. But if what we're doing is just conforming on the outside and our heart's not right, that'll only hold up for so long. I've seen this happen with kids who are raised in the church. They're forced to do the right things. They get habits of doing the right things, and they learn from consequences and other sorts of training. They form some good habits, and that's a good thing, and I'm not knocking that. But so often, as soon as they get outside the house, as soon as they go away to college or even get old enough to the point where their parents can't force them any longer, then the behavior changes drastically, because now the behavior conforms with the heart. Now there's a consistency, actually. And it's not that that's a good thing to happen. On the other hand, it's good for us to know where our heart is and to address that issue. Certainly, bad behavior flows forth from bad heart. And what we need is a touch of the Spirit of God in our hearts. But in order to maintain the life that God wants us to lead, we need to focus on our heart, not on our behavior. What happens, ultimately, it just turns into religion. Doing the right thing on the outside, but not even conscious of what it means on the inside. Not even thinking about a relationship with God. The truth is, if we are really aware of how close he is to us and how much he's done for us, the obedience part becomes easy. It's just the fruit that comes forth. But if we're forcing ourselves to do the right thing because of external controls, ultimately we will begin to resent that process. Ultimately, we'll start feeling like I need to bust out of this. And you may have known adults who've done this. You see it with kids all the time, but I've known adults who were doing good things for their whole life. I mean, and going through the motions, going to church, saying the right things, everything seemed fine. And all of a sudden, something snapped. And they take off, they desert their families, they just go off the deep end, they completely thrash their lives. And you think, how does that happen? Well, Amaziah knew how it would happen. Because if you don't pay attention to your heart, and all you're doing is paying attention to your external obedience, that's not the way that God would have us to live. He wants us to be free. He wants us to live following him from the heart. He wants us to be able to tell him when we're struggling. He wants us to be able to live a life that's honest before him and before others. I know that one of the biggest traps in life is to begin that process of fooling other people and trying to fool yourself by pretending like everything's okay when it's not. Going through that over a period of time, well, pretty soon it'll catch up to you. When something's wrong with our heart, we need to draw close to the Lord. Our devotional life with him, our fellowship with him, our honesty before him. And following that integrity, everything else will be taken care of. But Amaziah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. So as soon as the kingdom was established, he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king, the previous king. And so he began to solidify his kingdom. And now in verse 5, Amaziah gathered Judah together and set over them captains of thousands and captains of hundreds. He organized the army. And then in verse 6, he also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. So not only did he put the army of Judah together and strengthen it, but he decided, you know what, this isn't enough. What we need to do is hire some mercenaries. And so from Israel, which had been there, basically their perennial enemy ever since the kingdoms had split in the days of Rehoboam and Jeroboam, he hires a whole army of these guys, 100,000 people, to fight on their behalf. They were planning on going after the Edomites, the armies over there in Mount Seir on the far side of the Dead Sea. But a man of God came to him saying, "O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you. For the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim." Ephraim was one of the tribes from the north. And sometimes when you see Ephraim referred to in the Old Testament, it's referring to all the 10 northern tribes, but it calls them Ephraim, even as the southern tribes are referred to as Judah. So the man of God is saying, hey, God's not with the north. You're not going to help yourself by allying yourself with people who are ungodly. And so, of course, true for us as well, as the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't link yourself up with people who could pull you under. Other people have an effect on you. Of course, if you hang out with people who are godly and God is blessing their life, it has the opposite effect. Those are the kinds of alliances that we want to make. Whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, the people you choose to associate with are going to be involved in determining who you become. And I know when we talk to kids about that, they don't like it. We harp on them about their friends. And of course, the more you attack their friends, the more drawn they are to their friends. But I've found there are two things going on there. For one thing, being with the wrong people or the right people certainly has an effect. But what happens is you hang out with people that are doing what you want to do. You're drawn to people who, at the heart, are similar to you. And so, though Amaziah was a good guy on the inside, his heart wasn't loyal to God. And so, he had an affinity. He was drawn to these evil idolaters from the northern tribes. And we will sometimes do the same. We'll be drawn to someone because they're doing something that maybe we don't feel completely comfortable doing, but we kind of enjoy seeing someone else do it. And eventually, that has an effect. So also, when we ally ourselves with godly people, they rub off on us. If you are always spending time with people who are negative, always complaining and whining and griping, you'll end up being that way too, because the truth is they got that way honestly. There are plenty of things to gripe about in life. And so if you hang around with someone like that, they call attention to it. I'm sure you know people, I know a lot of people who it just seems like their perspective is always on what's wrong. Sometimes it's in the guise of they're trying to help you fix it, but still they're calling attention to what's wrong, and that's the emphasis. We need people who have that perspective, but even more so, we need people who encourage us. We need people who can look at the situation and see what God is doing. Don't you know certain people who, when you're around them, they just lift you up? You feel better after you've hung out with them? Well, that's a lesson that's important for us to learn. And often it's a hard lesson to learn because you and I don't want to face the fact that there are some people we are drawn to that we might be better off not being around them. They might not have a good influence on us. So this prophet points this out. He says, but if you go, be gone. Go ahead. Be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help and to overthrow. He said, look, you can do it if you want. You're going to lose. You can hang out with these people. You can keep these mercenaries if you want, but it's going to cost you. You're not going to win. And then Amaziah, again, another typical characteristic of people who are good people, but whose hearts really aren't loyal. He said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? Very practical. Very pragmatic. And it's always, see, that argument of the enemy that would tell you, you know what, you're in it too deep already. You better just go with it. You've made up your mind. Hang in there and stick with it. We've taken a step this far. What can we do now? How many people I know who, as they're about to get married, they're feeling like, oh no, I don't think this is right. I don't think this person's walking with the Lord, or I'm not walking with the Lord. I'm not ready for this. And, you know, a lot of people have cold feet before marriages, but I've known people who just had this sheer panic. And then inevitably, they go through with it, and sometimes with horrible results. But the reason they go through with it is, well, you know, the invitations were already sent out. The hall is reserved. It's just not practical. I may look flaky if I back off. And so instead, they go into a union that's going to cost them for the rest of their lives. And how many people, perhaps some of you, had a bad marriage at one point in your life, and you think back and you heard the man of God, the prophet, God himself talking to you going, no, don't do this, don't do this. And I've had people who told me when they were walking down the aisle, they just felt like God was screaming to them, run, run. And would have been better off if they had. Go ahead and eat the wedding cake. You know, eat the expenses of all that you've done so far. And if God's stopping you, back off, turn around. Don't just be practical. Don't just feel like, well, we're in escrow now. I don't want to forfeit the deposit. Hey, you're going to forfeit a lot more than a deposit if you do something that God is telling you not to do. And quite often, the wise thing for us to do is to back up and punt, to go ahead and take our losses rather than to continue in a direction when we feel like God's putting the brakes to us. But this will be expensive. Yeah, but it's going to cost you that anyway, and it's going to cost you a lot more later. And so the prophet is going, sure, you know, so what? You've already promised these guys the money. Often in life when I've started into something and I feel like, uh-oh, I better back off, I think, oh, but this is going to cost me. But, you know, think of it as tuition. Education always costs something. But if you make a bad decision and then you reverse it and it costs you some money, write it off as tuition. And thank God that you didn't continue going in a direction just because you started in that direction. The fact that I did this in the past is no justification for me to continue to do it. I love what Pastor Chuck used to tell us years ago. He said, we're all on a one-day contract. And I like living that way, really. When I start thinking about next month or next year, I start to wonder and I start to stress. But if I pay attention, okay, I'm here right now, but you know what? If God tells me tomorrow to take a different turn, I'm ready for it. I don't want to be a creature of habit. I don't want to get into a rut. I don't want to get into a groove and just do it next year because I did it this year. Do it now because I'm committed to it. That's why the Bible tells us, don't say, tomorrow I'm going to do this. It says, say, Lord willing, if God wants to, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And it's a tremendously freeing thing to know that we're not trapped because we've already come this far. To know that, well, you know, I've spent 3 years as an art history major, pretty much have invested enough in it now, I'm not going to change my major. What are you going to do with an art history major besides work at Starbucks? It's, hey, if you're heading in a dumb direction, change directions. Don't just continue beating your head against the wall because that's what I've been doing. God desires for us to remain flexible. And if at any point along the way we feel like, whoops, I've taken a wrong turn, go back and get back on the road where you left the road. Don't just think I'm stuck here because this is what I did. And so good counsel from the man of God. The Lord is able to give you much more than this, and the implication is it can cost you a lot more than this as well. So Amaziah discharged the troops that had come to him from Ephraim to go back home. Therefore, their anger was greatly aroused against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. I don't know if he paid them or not. It doesn't say that. The man of God was obviously saying that he should, but it could be that he didn't. Or it could be that they were just so cold-hearted that they were all dressed for war and wanted to kill somebody, and they were upset that they got cut out of the action. Of course, a part of it, too, is when you were a mercenary, your pay just covered your basic expenses, but you could also get whatever plunder that you could collect. And so they still, you know, had a chance of profiting from this. And so they were upset. And we'll see a little bit later, well, in verse 13, we'll just take it in order. Verse 11, Amaziah strengthened himself, led the people, went to the Valley of Salt and killed 10,000 of the people of Seir. These were Edomites, descendants of Esau. Also, the children of Judah took captive 10,000 alive, brought them to the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock so that they all were dashed in pieces. I wonder why he says that Amaziah's heart wasn't really in the right place. When he thinks, hey, let's kill 10,000, you know, or let's capture 10,000 and kill them after we've killed 10,000, and let's go watch them jump off these hills and explode on the rocks down below. You start getting the idea that this isn't a guy who really has the heart of God. Ironically, those soldiers that he had laid off, they would not go with him to battle. They raided the cities of Judah from Samaria to Beth-horon, killing 3,000 in them and took much spoil. So while they were off at war, these guys went back into their hometowns and ransacked the place. So again, you pay for these kinds of decisions. Now it was so, verse 14, after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the people of Seir, set them up to be his gods, and bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Back when he was doing what was right in the sight of the Lord, in verse 2, and yet his heart wasn't quite loyal, he was probably pretty proud of what a good guy he was. And he never thought that he would be like these foreigners, that he would be an idolater. No, he was one of the good guys. And yet, getting caught up in the excitement of the war, experiencing this victory over the Edomites, and then this bloodthirsty, gross slaughter of some of them for recreational purposes, and next thing you know, he's worshiping idols. He has become like the ones he attacked. And be careful. Whenever we get carried away attacking others, it's amazing how many times we will find ourselves becoming like them, doing what they do. I've seen this happen so many times. It's just spooky the way it happens, where you see there's somebody who's really a bad guy, and here's some good guy who's going after him, obsessed with taking him down, obsessed with destroying him, obsessed with battling, doing so with righteous indignation. And over a period of time, if it continues, you'll see the righteous person end up becoming like the other person. We have a tendency to do that. We will become who we despise. We will become who we attack. And so he brought the children of Israel into this idolatry. It just sort of happens. He didn't think it would happen. Most people, when they're in the middle of gross sin, don't look back and say, I always planned it this way. I figured this would happen. No one who's addicted to heroin ever starts out going, you know, they say a good way to get addicted to heroin is to start with some gateway drugs. So I think I'll drink for a while, smoke a little pot, take a few pills, maybe snort some coke, and eventually I'm going to be laying in a gutter slamming heroin in my veins. They don't think like that. It just happens a little at a time. And such is true with every sin. Very few people who are happily married just decide, you know what, the first chance I get. Here they are at their wedding, on their honeymoon, enjoying their spouse, and then they go, you know, I think I'm going to map out our future. And within about 3 or 4 years, I'm just going to start flirting, just to feed my ego, nothing harmful. And then I'll foster some relationships that have possibilities. I'll begin to travel for business, which will give me opportunities to test the waters and to pick up people. And gradually, I'm going to destroy my family and just live in a garage with somebody in a horrible life where I've lost my job, I've lost my kids, I've lost my family. No one thinks like that. But it creeps up on us a little at a time. Sin always does. It starts feeling pretty innocent. And I look at the steps that I take towards sin and I say, I'm way better than everyone else. I'm not an Edomite. Next thing I know, I'm acting worse than the Edomites and I'm doing what they do, fascinated by that which they worship. And so we need to be careful again that our heart's in the right place, because behavior follows heart inevitably.
A good word there for us. Make sure your heart is in the right place and the good behavior will follow. This is The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. What you heard today is one part of a study in 2 Chronicles. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Again, thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. So thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475. Have you seen Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? Watch and listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so you can have them delivered to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or call us at 949-362-7475. Here's a sneak peek of our next study, which we'll bring you on Monday.
Be glad that God has taken care of you. Don't always have these dreams of more and more and more. Stay at home. Don't meddle. Don't mess with situations that you don't need to be in. Often when we see that someone has a situation going on in their life, we want to help. And so we begin to offer advice where it's not being solicited. We let them know, you know, I don't know if you've thought about this, but what do you think about that? And I mean, this happens all the time when you hear someone who's sick. Everyone comes forward with all their home remedies and everything. And I think, you know what, if you're not a doctor, don't tell me about a scorpion, some kind of scorpion venom that they ingest in you. And I don't need to hear that. I don't meddle. Don't stick your nose into things that aren't yours. How many times we've gotten caught up in situations that consume huge amounts of our time, and we should have just shut up. Now, there's a time to speak up, and God would have us sometimes really go out on a limb, and God calls us to take huge risks as well. The point is, hear from God. In this case, God had said, don't do it, and he wanted to do it anyway, and that's where you need to really watch out, and so this warning from Joash, hey, don't mess with us.
We're on the final leg of our journey through 2 Chronicles. Come back next week for more. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.